Ramsey TV.
You want to hear something nuts? You want to hear something really crazy? I mean, maybe I shouldn't start a show like this, but I'm going to tell you something that might astound you, because every day that goes by in this neon, I am astounded by this, and that is that some people think there's no difference between what Peter taught and what John taught and what the terrestrial Jesus taught while he was on earth. No difference between that and what Paul taught. Oh, my friends, there is no end of the confusion that you will have in the scriptures if you think there's no difference between the gospel of the circumcision and the gospel of the uncircumcision. And there it is clearly stated right there in Galatians 2, verse 7. Paul says, I was entrusted with the gospel, that is the good news of the uncircumcision. This is good news that is specific, that pertains to Paul, and that you will only read of in Paul's 13 letters. Paul goes on in Galatians 2:7, I have been entrusted with the gospel of the uncircumcision, according as Peter of the circumcision. This is brutally simple. There are two sets of good news. We didn't make this up. I didn't make this up. Clearly stated in Galatians 2:7. One set of good news designed for Israel, for the 1,000-year kingdom, for the eventual fulfillment of law, for the people to whom God made a covenant, is headed by, championed by, represented by an ex-fisherman named Peter. Yes, Peter became the caretaker of this message for the covenant people, for the people who had come under a covenant God made to Abraham. Peter became their spokesman because he was handed the keys to it by the terrestrial Jesus. The terrestrial Jesus came to earth in a Jew suit to, as Paul says in Romans 15:8, confirm the patriarchal promises. What are those? The promises God made to Abraham. Jesus passed that on. He knew that he was going back to heaven. He was going to be killed, entombed, raised from the dead. And he knew he wanted to pass it on to a human type, you know. So he passes it on to the ex-fisherman. Here you go. Here you go, Peter. I want you to continue what I began here on earth. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, after the terrestrial Jesus had risen from the dead, taken off his Jew suit, and become once again the glorious, effulgent, magnificent, effervescent Son of God, he calls another guy outside of the land of Israel to give him another gospel. And it was to be known as the gospel of the uncircumcision, only to compare it with the first one. The gospel Peter had, you had to be circumcised, you had to be baptized, you had a covenant relationship with God, you were called the bride, you were exhorted to do law, you were exhorted to put a fork into your worry. But this guy, Paul, whoo, completely different message. It has to do with transcendent grace. It has to do with no law, no baptism, no circumcision, no works, no worry, no reminding yourself of your sins. You don't even have to add works to your faith. No. You're insulting Christ in this message by adding works to your faith, because we're justified by faith alone. It's so wonderful. It's so pure. It's so clear-cut. It's so simple. And to mix, this is a terrible mistake, to mix the gospel of the circumcision with the gospel of the uncircumcision, Paul got so upset about anybody that would try to do that, and so do I. He got so incensed that he pronounced an anathema, that is, cursed be you, devoted to destruction. I devote to destruction anyone, even if an angel from heaven comes to you, saying, mix Peter with Paul. No, Paul says, I will not let it happen, even if an angel from heaven comes down and tries to pull this on you. It's probably a fake, because no true angel from heaven would do anything so obscene as to mix law with grace, or baptism with no baptism, faith with works. No, no angel worth its wings would ever attempt something so ludicrous, dangerous, damaging to your faith. I am concerned, ladies and gentlemen, for your faith. I am concerned for your peace. I am concerned for your joy. And that, all those wonderful things I just mentioned can be compromised if you allow, or if I allow, someone wittingly or unwittingly to infiltrate Paul's message of pure transcendent grace with any of the writings from the circumcision, whether they're Peter's, John's, Jude's, or James's. James's. That's my charge, to protect the walls of Paul's gospel. It has walls, it has distinctions, they must be kept. Now, I left off with you yesterday that the poor circumcision, they have to be a little bit concerned when they hear the rumbling of his coming, because they could be put to shame by him in his presence. They could be left a lump of coal. They could be left a lump of coal instead of a shiny red bicycle. In the gospel of the uncircumcision, that is the gospel given to Paul, who, by the way, when he received this gospel, realized that his nationality was dung, that his attainments in Judaism were crap. And in Philippians, I believe it is chapter 2, he discards them. He counts them as nothing in comparison to the glory of God. Peter never, 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 and if I haven't said it yet, never makes any such statement that his nationality is dung. Why? Because his Savior and Messiah, Jesus Christ, told him that he would sit on one of 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He has to show his Jew card in the kingdom. The gospel of the uncircumcision. We died with him. He cannot disown himself. Listen to this. 2 Timothy 2, 11-13. Jesus Christ cannot deny himself. Remember, I told him we're not with him. We are him. We are part of his body. How can you deny your own body? How can you deny yourself? It's not like you have the mommy over here and the three-year-old over here, and you have to have a leash. You've seen these moms in the malls or at public events. They have the kids on a leash. Some people are offended by that. Hey, in this day and age, yeah, you got to have a leash. I'd put them on a chain to keep them close to you. But if you're one organism, if you're one being, if there's not mommy here and little child here, as John puts it, little children, that's what John said. And now, little children, remain in him, that if he should be manifested, we should be having boldness and not be put to shame in his presence. Did you get that, little children?
Tell us another story, Uncle John.
Don't mean to be making fun of it. Just saying this is not your message. We are adults, and we are part of Christ's body. This is mature truth, but it's simple. We were baptized into his death, and baptism, as I have told you many times and will continue to tell you, speaks of unity, speaks of identification. The water was simply a ceremony. It was a rite. There was nothing intrinsically magical about the water. It was a declaration of, again, unity. You're aligning yourself with whoever you're being baptized into. Baptized into John, you're aligning yourself with John. Baptized into Christ, Jesus Christ, aligning yourself with Jesus Christ. Baptized into his death, you're aligning yourself with the fact that your old humanity was crucified with Christ. And that's what we're going to get to here. Now, 2 Timothy 2, 11-13. Faithful is the saying, Paul speaking, for if we died together, we shall be living together also. I'm sweating in here in Studio One, folks. I'm perspiring like the Olympic athlete that I am. But if we are disbelieving, what if you're disbelieving in this gospel? What if you get tired of it and just like, we're chucking this out? Let me quote again, 2 Timothy 2, 11-13. Actually, I haven't gotten there yet. I understand that. For if we die together, we shall be living together also. If we are disbelieving, he's remaining faithful. He cannot disown himself. I just read you from the Bible. This is Paul. Is this what you're hearing in 1 John? No, disbelieving gets you chucked out of the kingdom and see you at the great white throne judgment. You're not going to see the light of day until the great white throne judgment at the end of the 1,000 years. But with us, if we're disbelieving, he's remaining faithful. Our disbelief doesn't bother him. Our changing our minds I'm just reading scripture. If we are disbelieving, he's remaining faithful. Why? Because he can't disown himself. These are for people who are in the body of Christ. In the body of Christ. This applies only to people in the body of Christ. You've already come to accept what Paul gave to you, that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And by the way, that message is not ever given to the circumcision. They're just to recognize him. This is their standard of faith. They're to recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah, to identify him as the coming one, as the promised one, the sent one, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ. Paul heralds the death for sins of Jesus Christ. Death for sins, the entombment, and the resurrection. Once you believe that, once saved, always saved. And again, we're talking about aeonian life. So there you go. He cannot disown himself. Why not? Because Christ identifies us with him. This is concerning the baptism into his death. If he disowns us, he disowns himself. If he disowns us, he disowns himself. Notice here how Paul relates the pronoun we. This is a literary consideration here, but a grammatical consideration, but look at this. He relates the pronoun we with himself. If we, you, me, members of the body of Christ, are disbelieving, he is remaining faithful. He cannot disown himself. We aligns here with himself. The first clause and the second clause, if we are disbelieving, he's remaining faithful. Why? Because he can't disown himself. I thought we were talking about we. We are. But in this passage, Paul's putting the we and using it as a pronoun for himself. This is what I told you. This is the vital union that I've been forwarding here. That you can't lose. This is why you can't lose it. But again, if you're one step removed, like you are in the circumcision gospel, you can lose it because you're one step removed. When he comes back, you'll be changed. When he comes back, you better have your oil ready to go. You better be putting that dipstick down in there, pulling it out, making sure you got your four quarts or whatever, because if you don't, you're going to be ashamed in his presence. That's because it's him there and you there. We have such a union with him that it denies this very concept. He cannot disown himself. So we equals himself. And you will not find this truth in the four Gospels, as great as they are, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. They're accounts of Jesus Christ's life. But they deal with the people who are in covenant relationship with Christ via Abraham. This good news I'm telling you is only in Paul. I have more details, which I'm sure you're glad to know. Honestly, I'm glad to know that I have even more details about our union with Christ and how in him you have no worry of being abandoned, no worry of being left behind, no worry of turning around and wondering where he is, because you are identified with him in his death, in his entombment, and now, here's the good side of that operation, in his resurrection power and in his glory.